Good morning. I miss you, church family. I pray you're all doing well. You know, I held back tears last Sunday as I watched Pastor Eli share his message online. It wasn't the same not getting to see and hug my church family in person. I wondered, how long would it be like this? In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23:3-25, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, today I'm thankful for social media, phone calls, and FaceTime. You know, someone out there this morning needs to know that he is still good. Someone needs to be reminded he is still faithful. You know, we continue to pray for you all in this time. We know it's hard. I'm going to encourage you this week to pick up your phone. It takes about 3 minutes to send someone an encouraging text or give someone a phone call if God puts them on your mind. And of course, Lakeside staff would be honored to pray for you. Give us a call at Lakeside or text us. We'd be honored to do that with you. And due to the virus that's going around, Easter may have to look different this year. So please just pay attention to your Facebook page and your emails, and we'll announce those changes next week. I also want to remind you, you can still give your tithes and offering online at lmoc.org, or you may mail them in. And if you don't feel like you can get out, but you want to give, just give us a call and someone would come by and pick that up for you. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to celebrating as we get to worship together again very soon. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for technology. I thank you for being able to put this together and bring it to our church family this morning. Lord, we just pray for the community. We pray for the world, what's going on. Father, we pray that you would heal this virus. And Father, I just want to lift up local businesses and employees who are impacted by the closures. And Father, I want to lift up people in the medical field. I pray that you'd put a hedge of protection around them. And Father, of course, I pray for students who are hurting because they're not going to be able to go back to school, and for families as they venture into this new way of learning and learning from home. Father, I pray that you would give people patience as they step off into this adventure. Lord, we know that you're in control of all. And Father, we ask that you would give us a peace that passes all understanding. Father God, we love you and we praise you, and we can't wait to celebrate being together again soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.
Strength Well, good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to Lakeside Baptist Church's service. And last week, during the sermon, we talked about a life of faith. And we talked about Abraham and how God had promised him certain things and how Abraham went and just followed whatever it was that God was saying for him to do. And so now we have the second part of chapter 12 in Genesis. So please just turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Verses 10 through 20. Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20. And now we're going to see Abraham actually not being as successful with following the Lord. So here's what it says in Genesis chapter 12. It says, "There was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to stay there for a while because the famine in the land was severe. And when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, 'Look, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." They will kill me, but let you live. Please say you're my sister so it will go well for me because of you, and my life will be spared on your account.' When Abraham entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, so the woman was taken to Pharaoh's household. He treated Abram well because of her, and Abraham acquired flocks and herds, male and female donkeys, male and female slaves, and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Abram's wife Sarah. So Pharaoh sent for Abram and said, 'What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why didn't you say she was my sister so that I took her as my wife? Now here is your wife, take her and go.' Then Pharaoh gave his men orders about him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us. And Lord, we just pray that as we continue to go out and hear from you and your message, from your word today, Lord, that we might have changed hearts as a result, and we might grow closer to you. And Lord, that someone might even be saved. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Like I said before, Abraham is here. And he has been talking with the Lord. And the Lord had him to go to the promised land. And he went. He left everything behind. He took away his possessions. He took away his wife. He took away his nephew Lot. But then he took away his slaves too. But then they traveled there to a land that he didn't know where he was going. He followed God's promises. And now he's been in the land for a little while, and he comes across his first little hiccup. There's a famine in the land. It says in verse 10, "And the famine in the land," and it winds up being not just a regular famine, but even a severe famine in the land, where he had to leave, where he felt like he had to leave. He was fearful. He was afraid. There was trouble finding things to eat, trouble finding things to do, trouble with all those kind of things, similar to what we're going through. With toilet paper and bread and everything else we're seeing at grocery stores across our country. So there's this famine in the land going on. And so when he was about to enter Egypt, so they made the decision, we're going to enter Egypt. So they're about to enter Egypt. He turns to his wife, Sarah, and he says, "Sarah, look, you're my half-sister after all," which we'll see in Genesis chapter 20. "You're my half-sister after all. Why don't we just tell people that you're my sister? So that when they see you, they might kill me because of you. And so let's just tell people that." And so Sarah winds up going along with it. Don't know if there was much discussion, don't know much else, but Sarah winds up going along with it and with whatever was being said. And so they do that. And then it says, when they entered Egypt, that the Egyptians saw in verse 14 that the woman was very beautiful. They get there and they see it for themselves. Say, wow, Sarah's beautiful, and they wind up taking her to Pharaoh. Well, as they're going to Pharaoh, Abraham winds up becoming rich as a result. Pharaoh winds up giving him more servants, gives him more flocks and herds, gives him donkeys and slaves and camels and all these other different things. He winds up becoming even richer than he was as a result of this. And then it says here in verse 17, but the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues. Not the first time that Egypt had suffered plagues from the Israelites. Suffered plagues. So Pharaoh realizes it's because of Abraham and Sarah. So he goes to Abraham and says, what have you done? Why is this happening to me? Why have you done this to me? Take her and leave me alone. He knows this is the problem. We don't know why he knows this is the problem, but we know he knows this is the problem. And it says for her to go. As I was looking at this and I was studying, I was thinking about this. This came to my mind. It's typically when things happen outside of our control, we sometimes fear that God will not keep his promises. Let me read that again. When things happen outside of our control, we sometimes fear that God will not keep his promises. Remember last week when we were talking about the first part of chapter 12, when God says, hey, Abram, if you go to this land that I'm telling you to go to, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. He named several things he was going to do for him. Several things he was going to do for him. And Abraham said, okay, I'm going to go. And him and Sarah and the rest of them left to go to a land they didn't even know where it was. They didn't even know what it was called. They just started going. They trusted God in that case. They get there and there's Canaanites that we read about before. And so they wind up going to a place where it's a little bit safer. And then the famine strikes. Things started happening that was outside of their control. Outside of Abram's control. And so as a result, he started to get a little bit afraid. He started doubting God's promises that we read about. The first doubt that we just saw was in verse 10. When there's a famine in the land, there's a severe famine in the land. This is his first doubt that we read about. First time we doubted God. There's a famine in the land, severe famine. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my servants and slaves? What's going to happen to all my livestock? What's going to happen to all these things? What's going to happen to even God's promises? What's going to be the result of this? It's out of my control. I can't control it anymore. There's severe famine. For us today, don't we have something out of our control? We have this thing called the coronavirus. We don't know what's going to happen. We're here stuck. We're in trouble. We're worried. We're concerned. It's outside of our control. We can't even control whether we get sick or not. Just because of life and everything and going out to eat or seeing somebody or meeting with somebody, we have to stay inside, being quarantined, while other people are out there fighting it, while other people are out there delivering goods to our homes, while other people are out there trucking these merchandise all over the country. There comes a time, for being honest, that we've probably doubted God's provision. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible is Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And in that passage, you just see that God's saying, hey, Jesus is saying himself to the disciples, to the others that are around him. He's saying, guys, why are you anxious? He says, look at the lilies of the field. They're clothed. They're beautiful. Look at the birds in the air. They're able to eat, and they don't sit there and store for winter. They eat whenever they get hungry. How much more so am I going to do for you, oh, you of little faith? Jesus reminds his disciples and those that are around him, look, there's no reason to be afraid of your provisions, of your needs, because I've taken care of them every single day for every single need. For every single moment, not the wants, but the needs. Abraham here was doubting God's provision because of a famine in the land, a severe famine. And so instead of staying in the land, he wound up leaving. The next thing that he questioned about God's promises is that he just feared for his life. In verse 12, he feared for his life. He gets there to where he's about to enter Egypt. He's almost there. And he stops and says, Sarah, we need to talk for just a minute. Sarah, there's a concern that I have. Sarah, you are a beautiful woman. Sarah, at this point, is about 65 years old. Sarah, you are a beautiful woman. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid that somebody's going to kill me because of you. So they can take you which winds up happening. They don't kill him, but they take her. And so, Sarah, can you just tell people that you're my sister? I don't think my wife would be too happy if I was to say, just tell people you're my sister. For whatever reason, Sarah went along with it. But you see that he was afraid of for his life. He says, they will kill me, but let you live. He's afraid of what's going to happen. And all too often, we're the same thing, is that some of us are afraid. We're living in a state of fear because of this virus. We're sitting there spraying everything and anybody with Lysol. As soon as somebody comes to the door, we have our spray bottle, we have our wipes, and they get sprayed all the way down. And then we go and wipe them all the way off and have them set just for 10 minutes just to wait, just to see. That's how we do it, right? Because we're so afraid. We live in this fear. But God says in Psalm 139, he's numbered our days. He knows how much time we have. Not a minute less, not a minute more. God is in control. God is in control of our lives. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Abraham was afraid about his life, forgetting God's promise of God making him into a great nation, and can't do that without Abraham being around. He was forgetting God's promises. He was expressing doubt over God's promises. He was afraid for his life. The third doubt that he had, the third issue that he had, was just a desire for an easy life. We see this in verses 13 and 16 of our passage. If you say you're my sister, it's going to go well for me. And then in verse 16, Pharaoh treated Abraham well because of her and made him even richer than what he was to begin with. And sister says, hey, like I don't really want that hard life. I want an easy life. But Jesus himself says that in Luke 14:17, that look, we carry a cross. We're no better than our master, Jesus, who died. Sometimes we think that, man, when I become a Christian, life should be easy and simple and straightforward, and unicorns and rainbows and all this great Skittle kind of things. Those of you that like Skittles. That's not life. Sometimes as Christians, life gets hard. And sometimes it gets even harder. Most of you are aware of my story. Just this calendar year, beginning December 31st of last year, technically, but throughout this entire year with the hardships we've had with my son, my newborn son, and now we have the coronavirus on top of it. We can't even let him out unless we're going to a doctor visit as a result. We're quarantining in because we don't want to risk him getting infected, because we've already spent plenty of time in hospital visits. A lot of times we have this desire for this easy life, a life we can just sit back and chill by the pool and have no worries for the rest of our days. I think it says something about that in Lion King, right? But God says, no, we're supposed to work hard. Hard days are coming. We're supposed to persevere and keep on going, despite what's going on. For some of you, I know, for some of you are healthcare workers. And some of you, it's getting difficult being out there on the front lines. It's getting difficult getting supplies that you need to take care of yourselves and your families when you go back home. It's getting hard to do all the things that you would normally do. But you're still doing it. You're still taking up and living this life out. For some of you, you own businesses. I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to own a business right now, especially if it's a restaurant or a daycare center or something else like that. Who's ordering? Nobody can even come into the restaurant anymore. So then you have to rely on people doing takeout. Is that going to be enough to sustain you? Do you have enough reserves to take care of these things? These are some of the thoughts I'm sure that are entering your mind, and probably others. But God said, we're not here for an easy life. That we're not to fear death. And that doubting in God's provision, there's no room for. Because he will supply us what we need day after day. After day. resting in his promises. Abraham forgot these things. Abraham had a moment of weakness. He got scared because of the family. He got scared because of his family. He got scared because things were outside of his control. Because when things happen outside of our control, we sometimes fear that God will not keep his promises. God does. God will. We can trust him. We also just need to look at two other things. That our sin affects other people. In verse 17, see, the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues. Because of Abraham not acting in faith, it affected Pharaoh and his whole household severely. We don't know what the plagues were. We don't know what the specifics were. We know in chapter 20 of Genesis where similar things happen and the people in the household of the king were unable to bear kids. But for Pharaoh specifically, we don't know what they were. But we know it happened. And our sin affects others. We even see that with Philippians 4, Philippians, I'm going to say 4:12, where our life can impact others, but Paul himself says, no, don't be selfish, but be selfless. Sin makes us selfish. God makes us selfless. Where we're willing to put our lives on the line for others. Where we're willing to go and work in the hospitals. Where we're willing to go and serve people. Where we're willing to go and do the hard things. Sin affects others. And then we just see that God's ever-protective hand in verse 20. We see here, verse 20, it says, then Pharaoh gave his men orders about him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had, including all the possessions and things that Pharaoh had previously given him. Romans 8:28, I mentioned this last week, says, God will make all things work together for good for those that believe in him. Oh, everything, even things that I mess up, even things I completely screw up, even things that I'm the reason why it all went wrong, God is still there and he's still going to make it good. It doesn't matter. I can never screw up so badly that God says, no, I'm pretty much done with that. God can still take that and he still uses it for his glory. God's ever-protective hand is still upon us. Now, we like to think that Abram learned his lesson here early on when he was with God. But we see the same thing happen in Genesis chapter 20. Where the same thing where he wound up going to another land. He told Sarah, hey, be my sister again. I know we've done this before, just be my sister again. And going along with it. He did it twice. Abraham, this man of faith that we lift up and say, this is a great man of God. This guy is awesome. This guy is great. I want to be just like him when I grow up. He did the same thing. What about us? Look, if we're honest, there's times when we mess up. There's times when we fear that God's not going to keep his promises. There's times when God isn't going to keep his word. Maybe you're in that situation today with this virus. Maybe you're in that situation today with your job. Maybe you're in that situation because you don't have a job anymore because you've been laid off. Maybe you're in that situation because the whole world is spiraling out of control and you have no idea what's going on anymore. God is still there. God still makes all things good to those who love him. God is still in the actions and in the individual details of what's going on. God's still there. God keeps his word. Word that we know that he keeps us with is just salvation, don't we? Salvation. Jesus has gone and died on the cross to pay for our sins and was buried and rose again on the third day. Make sure he was dead. He was buried in the grave for 3 days. Don't just wake up from that. For us today, promise we need to remember, just a promise of salvation. That one day, Jesus is going to come back and he will take us home with him to heaven. One day, for those of us that have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save us from our sins, we'll get to go to heaven, to a whole new place. One day. But while we're here, let's remember God's other promises. Because it just doesn't stop with salvation. It also includes everything else. That we don't have to doubt God's provision. God's going to continue to provide for our needs. We don't have to fear for our life. God's already got our days numbered and knows how long that we have. And we know that as children of God, as fellow Christians, as fellow believers in Jesus Christ, and what he did for us on the cross, that he died for us on the cross, that we are going to heaven when we die. We also know that this life isn't easy. And during this time, it's not easy. It's difficult. But God's still in the midst of it. I know that myself and Lisa were talking the other day that we have seen God at work in the lives of other families in our community as a result of this. God is using this right now in our community, in our church. And I can't wait to hear some of the stories that are going to come out from this. Our sins affect others, but God's ever protective hand is always upon us. When things happen outside of our control, we sometimes fear that God will not keep his promises. We remember times when we've broken promises. We remember times when other people have broken their promises as well. And we start to get afraid and we start to worry and we start thinking, but I have to control this. I have to do this. I have to do all these different things I have to do. Otherwise, it's all going to mess up. It's all going to go awry. It's all going to be a pain. But then we remember that God is not a God of chaos, but order. God's taking care of it. We no longer have to worry. God's in control. When things happen outside of our control, we sometimes fear that God will keep his promises. Is that you today? Are you afraid that God's not going to keep his promises? Are you afraid that God's not going to provide for your needs? Are you afraid that your life's going to end too short? Are you afraid that you're not going to get this easy life that you were thinking you were promised? Are you afraid that God's ever protective hand won't be over you today? It is. It's here now. Let me invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And maybe you're here sitting on your couch, sitting at your kitchen table. Maybe you're here in your pajamas eating a Pop-Tart or a Belgian waffle with some good Brahms syrup on it or log cabin. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, man, like I can't control what I can't control. I'm fearful for provisions, for the things I need, for food for my family, for an income to pay the bills. I'm fearful for this life. I'm fearful for God's our protective hand. I'm fearful for all these things. Remember, God's still in control. God's not done with you yet. God's still active in this situation. God's still God. He's good enough to save you. He's good enough to get you through this too. Don't you think? Maybe you're here and you're saying, this all sounds good, Pastor, but I don't even know this thing about this Jesus person. Like, what does it mean about Jesus? Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago. God himself came to this earth, died on a cross to pay for our sins. He lived a perfect life. He was sinless, though tempted in every way. But he paid the price that we couldn't pay, so that we might be in heaven with him. Maybe today you're struggling. Maybe today you're worried. Maybe today you're thinking you have sinned so badly that God could never overcome it. God can. He sent His Son for it. God's big enough. Abraham, this great man of faith, failed twice. The same way, twice, that we read about. Yet God still used him for great things. It's not about living a perfect life. It is about us living a life pleasing to God. But when we mess up, it's about going to the Father, confessing our sins to Him, restoring that relationship with Him once again, so that we might continue to abide with Him in Christ. Are you interested in being saved today? Are you interested in taking a step forward and maybe joining our church? Are you interested in changing your life and saying, today is the day that I'm not going to fear, but I'm going to trust in God's promises? Let today be that day, even now. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your many promises. Thank you for how you're working in our very lives, even today. Lord, thank you for this time we have together. Father, I know that someone here might be in need of salvation. So, Lord, may they say the following. Father God, I am a sinner. I have done things wrong, and I'm in need of a Savior of salvation. Lord, come into my heart to save me from my sins. Because you're the only way to salvation. In your name we pray. Maybe you just said that prayer. Maybe you're saying a prayer like this. Lord, I can't take care of everything. Father, it's too big. It's too much. But Lord, I know that you will provide. I know that you've numbered my days. I know you haven't promised me an easy life, but Lord, your ever protective hand is on me. I trust in your promises today. Maybe today is the day you say that prayer, that you trust in the promises of God. Lord, we trust in you today. In your name we pray. Amen.